James Sparrow awakens too early and is besieged by the mean Christmas blues. It was an old, familiar nightmare. The one about men in black hoods chasing him through tall grass toward the precipice, overlooking jagged rocks and great greenish waves rolling and crashing in the abyss, where sharks with chainsaw teeth awaited and great black buzzards hung in the air. And there he was, sliding toward extinction. And then Mr. Sparrow woke up to a song emanating from somewhere close to the bed. He thought maybe it was part of the dream, the masked men torturing him with a Christmas carol before tossing him to the sharks. And he lay waiting for the dream to evaporate, poof, so he could restart his sleep. But it was still there, that Christmas song he loathed and despised. It was dark, except for a faint glow from the bathroom. He was in Chicago. Mrs. Sparrow lay asleep next to him in their emperor-sized bed, in the hushed splendor of the master bedroom, in their baronial 12-room apartment on the 55th floor of the Wabashaw Tower. And it was December 22nd. In 2 days, the red-green monster of Christmas would descend, the world's longest and unhappiest holiday. Mrs. Sparrow adored Christmas, and Mr. Sparrow dreaded it. It gave him the heebie-jeebies. It gave him the hives. The brass quintets tooting "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" on street corners, and the sugar plum fairies twirling in the windows of Marshall Field. And inside, in women's lingerie, a pianist plowed through the little town of Bethlehem like a backhoe digging a ditch. It was ubiquitous, inescapable, the smell of pine and the bullying ads and the germs of guilt you did not buy Christmas gifts for all the people you should have, and the gifts were not nice enough. You could fly off to Hawaii, and Mr. Sparrow was hoping to do just that, but you could not drive Christmas away. It was a dark fog of nostalgia and disappointment that gripped you like a vice. Oh,